I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. We're about 30 seconds early with it, mostly because the weather forecast was so blissfully short and beautiful. And I'm glad to be back with you. I was glad to be away for a little bit. Spent some time, brief time, up in Milwaukee on Sunday for an old car festival that attended with a friend of mine. And it happened to be a stunningly beautiful day on Lake Michigan as well. So that's the kind of weather I seem to have come back to. I'd like to say I brought it with me, but I don't really think that that's the case. On the show today, here on Live and Local, it's your connection to local music and more. We've got the Sean Purcell Group. Sean is a guitarist who's worked professionally for many years and is at the University of Illinois to do his doctoral degree in the jazz program. And he's brought three of his colleagues with him. They're going to be playing tonight in a slightly different configuration at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. And they're with us to play live in the studio. I'm looking forward to that. And first up, however, we'll be talking with John Martin of the Erinfest Peoria, which is an Irish music and dance festival, and lots of things going on there, which we will hear about very shortly. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Monahans and Reconciliation Reel from Celtic Crossroads here on FM 90.9. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is John Martin, who is involved with an Irish music festival and dance in Peoria. And it's called, why don't you say it for me, John, so I don't screw it up.
Erinfest.
And it's spelled E-R-I-N-F-E-I-S.
Right.
Give us a quick history of the event.
Well, the event started back in 81 as a way to raise funds to pay for the Peoria St. Patrick Society's annual St. Patrick's Day parade. And it was a one-day event of Irish music, dance, cultural events, and in 90. When the city cleared land downtown and opened up the riverfront park, we were one of the first events they contacted about having our annual event down there. So we moved the festival down there and went from a one-day event to a three-day event. So it's expanded greatly over time.
And you have a lot of music, including a number of headliners and some pretty famous dancers. Why don't you give us some of the big highlights?
Well, we actually have six different stages going all the time. Now, they range from a small Irish pub to a large tent that'll hold about 1,800 people. This year, we have a band coming in from Ireland, Fusia. They're kind of play traditional rocky Irish, if you can believe that. We have a band coming in from Scotland, the Red Hot Chili Pipers, which is just a fabulous group of 10 guys that bagpipes and drums and all kinds of stuff. We have a group coming down from Canada, the Pogues, the Pogues, that will be, they're very upbeat. Celtic rock music, and old favorite of ours, Kathy Ryan, who now lives in Ireland, is coming back for 3 days to do some music. And this year we've got the world champion Irish dancers Trinity coming down from Chicago to dance on Saturday.
And you have also some other dancers as well, the Mullane dancers, did I see?
Yeah, we have what we would call local dancers. There's the Mullanes, McNulty's from Chicago coming, the Flynn's Irish Dancers from Peoria. There are two other local Irish dancing groups that will be there. So on the dance stage, we actually have six different dancing groups that will be going. They start at 12:30 on Saturday, and they'll be dancing till about 7 on Saturday and dancing all day Sunday. And in addition to the five entertainers that I mentioned earlier, we also have another number of bands from throughout the Midwest and the greater Peoria area that will be playing in different smaller tents and different venues throughout the weekend. We also have on the sports field, we're going to have the Ancient Athletics from Springfield are going to have Highland Games on competition, national competition on Sunday. And on Friday, we're having a little Irish versus the Scottish and the test of strength, which will be going on there all day, too.
Yeah, I was interested in this Ancient Athletics. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What sort of things happen?
Well, it's a Highland Game competition, and to a simple layman like myself, it's basically tossing various stones of various weights, bales of hay. They have a caber, which is like a pole that they toss. It's different forms of strength, weighting, tossing for distance, stuff like that.
And are you planning to participate in these events?
I'm too old.
Is there ever such a thing as too old?
There's a sanity limit, and that would be beyond it for me.
Is that something that's open to the public, or are those participants already determined?
The Scots vs. Irish will be asking for volunteers to do that. The competition on Sunday, you have to register for that to be part of it. And that's a competition that allows the competitors to earn points to go to Scotland for the national competition. So that'll be very competitive.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you have a kilt day as well?
Yes, Sunday is going to be kilt day. Anybody wearing a kilt gets in for free. We have other little activities going on. I failed to mention that we also have a vendor tent that has 16 vendors that have various Irish products and things that you just can't live without. And then we have a cultural village that has around 20 tents that have different exhibits, displays. We actually have several jewelers that make stuff right on the scene for you, custom make items, and we have bakery goods. We have a Galway bakery, which is bakery goods from traditional Irish bakery goods that they've made and brought in. They're just fabulous. And there'll be, of course, the food vendors that have different styles. It'll be Irish and all kinds of other different type foods here. So,
and I see
well-rounded event.
I see you have a chance to learn Gaelic.
Oh yeah.
In about an hour.
Well, actually, we do it two times both days. We kind of give an hour session, and then there's another one later on in the day if you want to go a little more advanced, and we try to spread it out to give people an opportunity to learn some simple Gaelic phrases and stuff like their names and stuff like that.
Well, it sounds like an incredible amount of fun. Where will people find all these events?
The Riverfront Park is located right in downtown Peoria, right underneath the Interstate 74 bridge. There's plenty of parking around the area, and the festival will start at 5 o'clock on Friday. If you get here between 4 and 5 on Friday, you can get in for free. We have an open hour.
And otherwise, a reasonable charge for, is it
yeah,
by the day?
The charge is before 5 o'clock, it's $7. After 5, it's $9. And children under 12 are accommodated by a parent or a guardian can get in for free.
And is that a per-day charge or for the whole festival?
Yeah, per day. There is a weekend pass you can get for $15.
That sounds fantastic, and there's so many things going on.
I also should mention we have a Wee Folks area for the children. There will be games and activities, a tea tent, freckle contest, red hair contest. You know, there's plenty of activity to keep the little ones busy.
So this is obviously a combination of Irish and Scottish, then. Not exclusively.
Not really. The Highland Games is about the only thing that's Scottish. Everything else is pretty much Irish. We've got the Highland Games. We thought that was unusual. Previous years we've had hurling down here, and we thought we wanted to try something a little different this year.
Well, it all sounds like great fun, and people can find the complete schedule and other information about what goes on in the area at erinfestpeoria.com. That's spelled E-R-I-N-F-E-I-S, Peoria.com. And all the info is there. And, John, I really appreciate your taking a few minutes to talk to us, because I know you're getting ready as we speak.
Yeah, we're setting stuff up. Thank you very much for contacting us.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, and the weather looks good so far.
You too. Thank you.
We just heard Matt and Shannon Heaton with Shannon playing the flute and Matt playing the guitar, a tune called Mountain Rambler from their disc called Lover's Well, Irish traditional songs and tunes about love and loss. And reminder that you can go see Erinfest in Peoria at the Riverfront Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sounds like a grand time, an incredible number of things going on. Check them out at Erinfest Peoria, E-R-I-N-F-E-I-S, Peoria.com. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Glad to be back with you after, I guess, just about 2 weeks off. With us now in our studio to play for us live is the Sean Purcell Group. They are going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock, and they are guitarist Sean Purcell, keyboardist Dan Pearson, who's actually standing in or sitting in for Chip Stevens, bassist Matt Hughes, and drummer Brent Jordan. Thank you all very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Should be a treat. When I was ready to take off for a little staycation, and that's, by the way, according to the new Oxford English Dictionary, that apparently is one of the new words that is included.
A staycation.
I just learned that. And I picked up that word from, I think, our intern here. I hadn't heard that before, but that's exactly what happened. In any event, when I saw you guys were going to be at the Iron Post, I thought, well, that sounds like it would be a fun way to start back.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much.
So why don't you just start us off?
All right. Thank you.
The Sean Purcell Group here in our studio and Live and Local on FM 90.9. Sean Purcell on guitar, Dan Pearson keyboard, Matt Hughes bass, and Brent Jordan drums. Sean, was that one of your own compositions?
No, that was actually a blues, believe it or not, by Jerry Braganzi, a great tenor saxophonist in Boston, and that was called Red's Blues.
And I'll bet you there's plenty of jazz aficionados out there who knew that.
Maybe.
Or maybe not.
Some of a small contingent of aficionados, maybe. It's actually, he did it on three different records. So if anybody's out there listening, Just Within, Lineage with Mulgrew Miller, and Inside Out. So he's been playing that tune for a couple of decades.
And how long have you been playing that tune?
About 9 or 10 minutes.
Really? Is this the first time?
Yeah, it's the first time. I've always liked the tune. I've always liked the changes quite a bit. And I just thought, hey, I'll pull this one out for today.
Yeah, and will you be playing it tonight?
I will be.
And that tonight is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana at 7 o'clock. The group will be there. And I'm just looking while you were playing through there, looking at your bio, because it's really pretty interesting. I said in introducing you that you've been out in the professional world for quite a while before you came to be a student at the University of Illinois, and you're a doctoral student, having
yes.
been a student elsewhere before. In jazz, in the wonderful program here, and in fact, I guess you all are in the jazz program. Is that's right?
Yeah, we're all right. Dan's an undergrad, Matt's new DMA student from New York City, and Brent's a DMA student. So yeah.
And for those who aren't in on the lingo, DMA is Doctor of Musical Arts.
Yes, it is.
And you've got your performance degree in jazz and Brazilian and rock and classical.
No,
guitar?
Actually, my undergrad was recording arts and
oh, that's
sciences,
right.
which is kind of a long story. But yeah, I studied at Duquesne. They had, five or six guitar teachers, which
no
was
kidding.
Pretty phenomenal. And so various guys would, had various areas of study that they focused on. So I was able to kind of get passed around through the different teachers. And so that's all the stuff that I kind of studied there at Duquesne.
And at what point did you decide jazz was it?
That's a good question. My dad was a great jazz trombone player that played with Maynard Ferguson in the 70s for 4 years. So I think that, even though I wasn't a huge fan of jazz in grade school and high school, right around high school was where I really started to get into it.
Your dad was with Maynard Ferguson?
Yes, for four years.
In the 70s.
Yeah, I think 74.
I wonder if I heard him.
Probably.
Because the only time I heard Maynard Ferguson was in the 70s.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, I think I was sort of bitten by the bug before I even really realized that I had been bitten by it.
It just sort of infiltrated itself.
I guess so, yeah.
Or something to that effect. But you never really pursued the others so much? Mostly just the jazz.
Here since moving to Champaign, I've played mostly straight ahead jazz stuff. But I lived in D.C. for 8 years and Nashville for 4 years, and throughout that time, I played in Nashville with Steely Dan tribute bands, Tower Power tribute bands. So pretty much, most styles or quite a few different styles. But since I've been here, it's been mostly, especially in the last year or so, straight ahead type of playing.
And for a couple of years with the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, what kind of music do you call that?
That was kind of interesting. I actually got hired for that. I was about 6 months out of college, and they used to hire local musicians to play for Ringling. And I think that they were working a deal with the union to go to a self-contained band. And I just happened to be one of the last guitar players on the tour, and they needed someone, you know, to start rehearsals for 3 weeks. So I took that. And they were kind of, at that point, kind of moving towards, like, Cirque du Soleil was really starting to kind of get popular. And so they were moving more towards that kind of artsy rock show-ish type of music. So it was, there was still a little bit of the old circus stuff in there, but it was mostly kind of, you know, distorted screaming guitar kind of rock stuff, which was fine by me.
Here I just had the old circus march kind of idea in my head.
No, I think we did one of those or two of those maybe for the horse gallops, but it was pretty modern stuff at that point.
Well, I did see Cirque du Soleil and whatever show they brought to Champaign-Urbana this past season. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think. I guess it would you'd call. I don't recall that it was screaming rock guitar sort of thing, but it was it was definitely on the rock side. What about the rest of you guys? Any of you play with the circus?
I've not played with the circus.
Nobody plays with the circus.
I actually have. I wanted to plug. I have a student, Ian Murphy, that went just finished here at U of I, and I got a call at the end of last semester from the guy that runs all of the music for the Kenneth Feld Productions, and so Ian Murphy, I was able to recommend him, and so now I have a student on the circus.
Who's Kenneth Feld?
Kenneth Feld is the owner of Ringling, and he actually owns the Ice Capades and stuff in Vegas, and he's kind of an entertainment mogul, I guess.
So your experience, no doubt, with your name behind him, just catapulted him into the circus world.
Yeah, it was my fault.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and our show today is made possible in part by the Community Blood Services of Illinois, providing all donated blood for patients in Champaign-Urbana, Charleston, Mattoon, Danville, and Effingham. Blood donation takes only 45 minutes and saves lives. Donation information is at 367-2202 or on the web at bloodservices.org. Well, I want to find out a little bit more about the rest of you guys, but first, Let's hear another tune. Are we going to hear one of your compositions at some point here, Sean?
The next one is not, but maybe the following one will be one of mine. We'll be doing all this stuff tonight. So
sure. So what's next?
The next tune is a great Bossa Antonio Carlos Jobim Triste, another tune that I really like playing.
And that means something about sadness or not?
I'm not really sure.
Oh, man.
I failed.
You're a doctoral student. You got to look these things up.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of guessing from other languages. Yeah. What is it, T-R-I-S-T-E?
I don't know. My wife would know, but
there's the lyric. Sad is to live in solitude, so I guess it's about sadness.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the lyric there?
Yep.
Then why don't you read it?
Sad is to live in solitude.
Oh, that's the whole thing?
That's the opening line and the ending line.
Oh, well, there you go then. Yeah. I'm smarter than you, apparently.
We'll try to make it less sad.
Sean Purcell Group on Live and Local. Thank you.
Thank you.
tune called Triste, or Triste, by Antonio Carlos Jobim, played by the Sean Purcell Quartet, or group, or what are you officially called, Sean?
I'm calling it the Fortet.
The Fortet.
Quartet.
Oh, so you meant for me to pronounce Fortet. That's how you wrote it here.
Yeah.
So now I know.
Yeah.
Fortet. Well, I like that, and it's Sean Purcell guitar. We heard also solo there by Dan Pearson on the keyboard. Matt Hughes is the bassist, Brent Jordan the drummer, and they're playing tonight at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. You're hearing them live in our studio on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore the newly announced 2010-2011 season. Tickets are on sale now. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. I said I wanted to find out a little bit more about some of the rest of you guys here. Matt,
yes.
As a new doctoral student at the University of Illinois in the jazz program, you get first dibs here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing before you arrived at the U of I?
Well, I've spent the last 16 or so years in New York City, just playing around, doing whatever I can.
Playing around in music, I assume.
Absolutely.
Or is that the whatever I can part?
And whatever I can. A month ago, last gig I played was in Smalls in Greenwich Village in New York City, and now here I am in Champaign, Illinois.
Is Smalls a jazz club I should know about?
Oh, yeah. That's a friend of mine owns it, named Spike Wilner, and it's the place where a lot of musicians gather and play in New York City. There's usually three bands a night playing, and it's been going on now almost nonstop for about 12 years.
And were you doing like Sean earlier and playing in lots of different genres, or have you mostly
a jazz guy? Bachelor's and my master's degree are both in classical. I played in about 15 to 20 different orchestras, and then I quit, moved to New York City to play jazz. I joined Betty Carter's band in the late 90s.
That's nice.
I'm on her last recording. And then I went through a big band phase. I played, I was a member of the Glenn Miller Orchestra, Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey, Cab Calloway. If they're dead, I played with them.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, no.
So you're not responsible for doing in Betty Carter, I hope.
No, I had nothing to do with that.
Because you played
at least that's what my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You played with her while she was still alive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She was very much alive when I played with her.
Yeah. Well, when I walked in the studio here at the start of the show, I did see you using the bow more than most jazz players do.
Yeah.
So I kind of wondered if you had a classical background. And I'm looking at your bass. I've not seen a bass shaped quite like this one. It's symmetrical.
This is a Czechoslovakian instrument that was built in the 50s to kind of accommodate some rockabilly styles. And it was all in pieces. A friend of mine gave it to me because he crashed my car. So I put it all back together, and I never thought I'd use it, but I've been using it because it's portable, it's easy to carry, and it sounds good, but it's not extremely valuable, so I don't have to worry about it getting beat up going from gig to gig. And, well, what I used to do is take the subway to the different genres, so it was a great gig bass.
Well, if I'd seen a violist shaped somewhat like that, a viola, not a violist, shaped like that, I'd say, I've seen them, they're easier to hold under the chin, but you're not holding this thing under your chin,
yeah.
So...
You can see, like, the dip is on the fingering side of the fingerboard, so you can reach higher. But what it does is it also takes about a quarter of your resonance out of the instrument, so it doesn't really move as much air.
So you've got to work a little harder to make
some
sound.
Serves no practical purpose whatsoever except it to make my bass harder for other musicians to play.
Well, there might be an advantage to that. I'm not sure how that goes.
Come sit in on my gig. You're not going to sound very good.
Brent Jordan is the drummer, and you've been at the U of I for a little while now?
Yeah, I'm going on my fifth year now.
Fifth year in the doctoral program, or did you start out with the master's?
No, yeah, I started with the master's program. So before I came here, you know, I got my bachelor's at Northwestern University, and then as soon as I finished
I'm an alum.
Came straight down here. Okay, right on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then as soon as I finished that, I moved down here and started in the master's program. And so that took me 2.5 years to finish that degree. As soon as I finished it, I just transferred directly into the doctorate program, and that's where I've been ever since. So,
what kind of jazz is happening at Northwestern right now?
Right now? Well, I mean, there's still a jazz studies program there. So far as I know, they hired Victor Goines, and I think they hired a bunch of new faculty to accompany him. And so I think he's been there, I'm not really sure, maybe 4 years now, maybe going on 4 years, something like that. But, yeah, there's still a program there, although I don't know very much about it, just because most of the younger students that I was keeping in contact with have now, you know, graduated and moved on from the school. So I don't really know that much about it. Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I was just curious because I think Don Owens was still in charge of it when I was there, and there wasn't much. I don't think there was all that much to it, other than a few.
Yeah, Dio was still the head of jazz studies when I started there, but he actually retired during my junior year. So yeah, during my third year there, he actually retired after that year, and then Joel Spencer was appointed as the kind of the stand-in director for the program for a year.
And did you start out life as a rock drummer like most kids or not?
I mean, not really. I don't know. That's kind of an interesting question. I mean, I started band in fifth grade, but, you know, that was for percussion and whatnot. And then I got my first drum set, I think, when I was in seventh grade. And that's when I started studying privately as well. So, yeah, I think one of the first books I was playing out of was Joel Rothman's Rock and Roll Bible. It's a very
sounds good
standard, you know, beginner drum set book. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I started with. And then when I got into jazz, I mean, that probably happened like in eighth grade. So probably like the second year I was playing drums, you know, that there was a jazz band at my middle school. And so, you know, I auditioned for that during my eighth grade year and got into it. And that's kind of how I started getting into that music. And I remember going to the library at one point, and I didn't really know anything about this music, you know, and I just looking through some of the different selections, and then I saw, you know, the Buddy Rich Big Band, like they had a few CDs in the library there. And so I had no idea who it was, but I'm like, well, he's a drummer and he leads a band, you know, whatever, I guess I'll just check it out. So I put that on, and it was just kind of like, what is this? You know, he's just playing all this ridiculous stuff and everything. And you know, from there, I mean, it kind of started from there, but that was like the first time I was like, wow, what is this? You know, and then I just wanted to figure out, and I kind of gravitated towards, you know, playing jazz and listening to it and studying it. So
my sister was a drummer in high school and a big fan of Buddy Rich. That's the only reason I had heard of him when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But she never played drums. I mean, she never played jazz. She played drums. It was a great instrument for her because she used to play violin, and she got really ticked off at the violin one time and broke the bow on the piano bench. And so we figured drums were probably a good choice for her.
Right, yeah.
Did you, through high school, did you play percussion also, the other, you know, timpani and mallets and all that stuff?
I stayed with percussion and studied that through most of college. I was actually required to be in the percussion studio when I went to Northwestern, so Michael Burritt was teaching there at the time, so I got to study with him and keep working on that, keep playing in ensembles. So it was great experience, and it really helped me to, especially once I went to Northwestern, it helped me grow further as a percussionist. And so it was a good education.
Good. And Dan is our one undergrad in the band here, Dan Pearson on the keyboards. And what brought you to U of I?
Well, I'd have to say the one professor here, Joan Hickey, was my teacher my junior and senior year. And so when I was going through the process of applying to all these schools, she kept on bringing up U of I and telling me about the program. And I knew that Joel Spencer was an alumni here, and Kelly Sill, and, you know, a bunch of some of the great musicians that are in Chicago right now would always bring up this place and what it was like back in the 60s and 70s. So when I was applying, I decided to apply, and when I was making the rounds for all the schools, this ended up being the one that worked out, and it's close to Chicago. And then when I came down, I was pleasantly surprised because there's a lot of great musicians here, and and jazz is really supported well here.
Well, yeah, it's really grown a lot. And so you're working with Chip Stevens, then, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like? He's not a bad player.
Oh, it's great. He's one of the most inspiring teachers I've ever had.
Really?
He always has really good comments, and I always feel like I leave my lessons with something a lot to think about. And I don't know, it's always good. It's always an inspiring experience.
Does he do any technical work? Because he's quite a good technical player. I mean, he can get all over the instrument.
We haven't worked so much on that. I think, that's something that maybe, I don't know, I haven't really talked to him that much about that, but it's, everybody kind of figures that out on their own. There's certain ways you can just work on those things. A lot of it's just the time you spend practicing that. And, if I ever have any specific questions on, how to work on maybe like playing like, lines in double octaves, I remember I asked him about that once, and he had some suggestions of like how he did it when he was getting that stuff together. But that's usually to the extent of any kind of like technical things we've talked about.
So it's mostly more exclusively on how to play jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Well, we're gonna have time for, I guess, another tune before we go out, and we're talking with and hearing from the Sean Purcell Quartet. We're going to be playing at the Iron Post downtown Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. A couple of items of housekeeping I got to do before you play. Just I'll mention a couple of other events going on tonight. The weekly Irish traditional music session is in Champaign in downtown at Bentley's Pub. That's tonight at 7. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo jazz gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana at 6 o'clock. Caleb Cook is at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana. Boy, it looks like heavy on Urbana tonight, 9 o'clock. And tomorrow night, Chicken Shack plays blues at Baxter's American Grill in Bloomington. That's tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And looking ahead to Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel in Oakwood at the Kickapoo Landing. That's 5:30 on Friday. And forecast, sunny and beautiful, high of 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear skies, cool temperatures, the low 52, tomorrow sunny with a high of about 78 degrees. Coming up, we have the Writer's Almanac at 1:01, classical music for you at 1:06, and I'll be back tomorrow with an hour of jazz, particularly from Chicago. We'll be talking with Sam Reese of the University of Illinois faculty, who's going to give us bit of a history of some Chicago jazz, I believe, and wherever else that conversation goes. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WINL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we have support for today's programs, in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. And I see I've left you all of about 4 minutes for your piece here, Sean.
Yeah, we'll be quick. This is a tune, actually, I wrote. It's called Might This Be Bop. I was playing in a combo at U of I, and we were kind of a little low on bop tune, so I took the changes to Charlie Parker's Confirmation and combined it with the bridge changes to John Coltrane's 26-2 and wrote my own melody over it with, a couple hundred notes, and it turned out like this.
And Sean Purcell, Dan Pearson, Matt Hughes, and Brent Jordan take us all the way up to 101.
One, two, one, two. Thank you.
That sounds like more than a couple of hundred notes.
Yeah, there's. I should have taken some out.
What's that line of from the film Amadeus? Too many notes, Mozart, from
the
Emperor.
Yeah, the ear can only hear so many notes.
Yeah, is that how it goes? Yeah. Well, I heard all those, but I could never even hope to reproduce them. That was a great tune. Tell us the name of it again.
It's called Might This Be Bop.
Oh, yeah, that's a great name. Might This Be Bop. Sean Purcell's composition. Sean Purcell is the guitarist with keyboardist Dan Pearson. Bassist Matt Hughes is brand new at U of I this year, and drummer Brent Jordan. Appreciate you all coming in, and have a great gig tonight. It's at 7 o'clock at the Iron Post, downtown Urbana.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you.